see that our host, the co-host, my good friend, Janet, is on in the virtual studio here. I call it the Red Caboose Studio because there's a red caboose behind my house. Janet, can you just say some things for a minute? I have to go get the dog and bring the dog in before we actually... Yes, I'm back. And the recording is restarted. All right. Welcome to the Poetry Show and my friend Janet Harrison. Janet, I've been reading the poems you sent me and about the passing of the old year into the new. And I like them all. I'll say that the I think the old timer there, what's his name? John Clare. And the one by Richard Wilbur kind of tickled me the most. Richard Wilbur's was a little stark, you know, but anyway, so and I thought the prayer was very quite Quakerish and therefore good in my view. You know, but I don't know how you'd like to parse up the reading of them.
I want to start with the John Clare.
Okay. Well, he's do you want to read that?
Yeah, John. No. First of all, I'll say a few words about John Clare. John Clare's dates are 1793 to 1864, and he's known as a poet of farming life and so on. He was a farmer for many years. Then his physical and mental health deteriorated. And he wound up being committed, well, he wound up going to an asylum where he spent the rest of his days, except for 6 months where he escaped for a while. And then he was sent back to the asylum.
Wow.
In the asylum, they say that this is very interesting. He had a hard time talking and, you know, being coherent, but he could write poetry.
Right.
You know, and the poetry would come out sounding sane, but his delusions, at one point he thought he was Lord Byron, another point he thought he was Shakespeare. He had, you know, iterations of different kinds of delusions and insanity, but he could still write poetry, and he was in an asylum where the person in charge of the asylum actually encouraged him to write. Which was, you know, very enlightened for that age, because that at that time asylums were very
prisons,
gruesome.
It's like America's major treatment centers for addiction, the prison system.
Anyhow, this is his poem for the old year. And my philosophy was this week we're doing poems for the old year, and next week we'll do poems for the new year.
Okay.
And there's a lot more New Year's poems than there are old year poems.
Right.
So I had a hard time filling out this.
Okay.
People don't write about the old year as much. But this is called the old year.
Well, go for it.
By John Clare. The old year's gone away to nothingness and night. We cannot find him all the day, nor hear him in the night. He left no footstep, mark, or place in either shade or sun. The last year he'd had a neighbor's face, but in this he's known by none. All nothing everywhere. Mists we on morning see have more of substance when they're here, and more of form than he. He was a friend by every fire, in every cot and hall, a guest to every heart's desire, and now he's naught at all. Old papers thrown away, old garments cast aside, the talk of yesterday are things identified. But time once torn away, no voices can recall. The eve of New Year's Day left the old year lost to all.
Yeah, it caught my fancy. You know, I'm not sure that what's coming is not going to make us yearn a bit for what just passed, but but I like it. I liked the I thought the rhymes were great. The wit is strong.
Yes.
And so that was on a day where he was seeing clearly.
Yes.
And he could came to him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was Shakespeare on that day.
Apparently he rewrote some of Lord Byron's poems for him when he thought he was Lord Byron.
Well, he might have done, I thought Lord Byron is a bit on the windy side myself, but compared to the other guy he's emulating there. Who was the other one you mentioned? No, not Byron.
Shakespeare,
yeah. He's closer to Shakespeare in his style, isn't he?
I think so.
I don't think he would do, a low joke in quite the same way that he would be more Shakespearean than Byron. That's just my take on it anyway. But I like this.
Well,
I like this poem.
Quite clearly. I mean, I don't believe in diagnosing historical characters, but in my study of Lord Byron's life, he was really quite clearly bipolar.
Well,
he had all the symptoms.
Did okay. Well, so, a brother in arms, perhaps, Janet, at some point. Had you? Yeah, right. But I do like this guy's John Clare. It's going to make me go back and look him up. I'd heard of him, I think, but I never read a poem of his that I recall that impressed me quite like this one. So I'm going to look back. Thank you for digging that one up.
Did you want to read the Richard Wilburg poem?
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. I don't have any background on him, but I just thought this poem was,
he's considered one of the great stylists of the 20th century. He was a formalist. He sort of fell out of fashion during the confessional rage, but now he's come back to his full reputation. He's considered one of the finest poets of the 20th century.
All right. Well, this one's called Year's End. And it goes like this. Now winter downs the dying of the year, and night is all a settlement of snow. From the soft street, the rooms of houses show a gathered light, a shapen atmosphere, like frozen over lakes whose ice is thin and still allows some stirring down within. I've known the wind by water banks to shake the lake leaves down, which frozen where they fell and held in ice as dancers in a spell, fluttered all winter long into a lake. Graved on the dark gestures of descent, they seemed their own perfect monument. There was perfection in the death of ferns, which laid their fragile cheeks against the stone, a million years, giant mammoths overthrown composedly have made their long sojourns like palaces of patience in the gray and changeless lands of ice. And at Pompeii, the little dog lay curled and did not rise, but slept the deeper as the ashes rose, and found the people incomplete, and froze the random hands, the loose, unsteady eyes of men expecting yet another sun to do the shapely thing they had not done. These sudden ends of time must give us pause. We fray into the future, rarely wrought, save in the tapestries of afterthought. More time, more time. Barrages of applause come muffled from a buried radio. The New Year bells are wrangling with the snow. Anyway, I like that one.
This poem is very, very musical. He pays a great deal of attention to language, a lot of alliteration, a lot of just really beautiful. And it has an unusual rhyme scheme. It's A-B-B-A-C-C. So it's done in six-line stanzas with an unusual rhyme scheme.
Does that have whether that scheme has a name or did it come from something, or is this something he just said, well, I'm gonna do an A, B, C, C, D, whatever, I'm gonna, you know, and something like that?
I think he just decided to do it. I don't think it has a name.
It's like I was listening to a podcast of Billy Collins day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's on at night, something comes on my phone anyway. And he was talking about how he had spent quite a bit of time just experimenting with rhyme schemes and, doing ones that, he decided he was going to do one that looked like a Fibonacci sequence.
Really?
Sure how that worked out. But anyway, so he said but it got to be just some of them, you know, the poetry of it somehow got lost eventually, he said. I'm not quite sure what he meant by that, but anyway, maybe you...
Sometimes when you're trying to work to a form so much, you lose the music or you lose the sense or something. It doesn't, you know, you get so wrapped up in trying to hit the form that you distort what you're trying to do.
Or you but find a rhyme. Sorry.
The sound in this poem is just stunning. Like, just listen to the first two lines. Now winter downs the dying of the year, and night is all a settlement of snow. You have the now and downs, the dying downs, the settlement of snow. The music is just beautiful in this poem.
Yeah, the S's and the ounds and downs and the... Yeah, it's meant to be kind of a... orated. Definitely.
So this is just a really fine poem.
A gathered light. I love that expression.
Yes.
From the soft street, the rooms of houses show a gathered light, a shapen atmosphere. That's a very interesting, you know, use of words.
Yes.
Like frozen over lakes whose ice is thin.
The leaves getting frozen in the lake and all of the different ways that he gets from there to Pompeii, you know, all the ideas.
Right. I know.
And the mammoths. It was just amazing to me.
I know.
The distance the poem travels.
Right. I mean, and at Pompeii, the little dog lay curled. After changeless lands of ice, and at Pompeii, the little dog lay curled and did not rise. Very cool. Very cool poem. Richard Wilbur. Mm-hmm. From Collected Poems, 1943 to 2004. And this is taken from, I presume, the Poetry Foundation. Poetryfoundation.org.
Yes.
If you want to go check a look at it.
Great, great website. Fabulous, tremendous archives of poem. That and poet.org are fabulous.
Where do we want to go next, my dear?
Okay, well, the next two poems are, I chose more for what they said than for their skill as a poem. And the next one I wanted to read was the one by Edward Hayes, A Prayer for a Winter Solstice Prayer.
Right.
And then I want to close with a Howard Thurman.
Okay.
Winter Solstice Prayer. The dark shadow of space leans over us. We are mindful of the darkness of greed, exploitation, and hatred also lengthen its shadow over our small planet Earth. As our ancestors feared death and evil and all the dark powers of winter, we fear the darkness of war, discrimination, and selfishness may doom us and our planet to an eternal winter. May we find hope in the lights we have kindled on this sacred night. Hope in one another and all who form the webwork of peace and justice that spans the world. In the heart of every person on this earth burns the spark of luminous goodness. In no heart is there total darkness. May we who celebrated the winter solstice by our lives and service and by our prayers and love call forth from one another the light and the love that is hidden in every heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
My one criticism of the poem is that it, I think it's a little facile to equate dark with bad and light with good. But I think it's a beautiful poem about fear death and evil and all the dark powers of winter. We feel the darkness of war, discrimination, and selfishness. I don't know when he wrote this poem, but it certainly resonates for 2023.
It does, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, it's hard to know even how to act, but yes. I hope that we can, find
that
ways.
That was by Edward Hayes from the Prayers for a Planet, for a Planetary
Right.
Pilgrim.
Right. Well, I hope that that kind of prayer can spread and have an impact somehow on the divisiveness that appears to be rising. So,
yes.
What's next? Now, which of the ones are you going to go to next? Because they're all pretty good.
I was going to skip the Ogden Nash and end on the Howard Thurman. I just have to pull it up. It is one of my favorite. Okay, where'd we go?
I found it.
If you found it, you might read it because it's missing from
okay.
my...
Okay, so this is called The Work of Christmas. And it looks like this was by Howard Thurman, and from a Christmas poem in a book entitled Black Fire, African American Quakers on Spirituality and Human Rights. So this is how it goes. It's not very long. The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky has gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock. The work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart.
And I found it, and just because I think it's worth hearing again, I'll read it. The Work of Christmas. When the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princesses are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart.
Amen again.
Yes.
I like that one. That is a poem a little better than the former one.
Yes.
And it rings.
I think
so
it
true.
Works better as a poem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's done. It's just very nice.
But I thought that it would be appropriate to end the old year on a prayerful note, a meditative
Well,
note.
let's
That's
do
why I
that.
chose the last two poems.
And I think we can probably pause the podcast at this point and wish everyone out there a happy new year. And surely, if we all work in concert toward our common goals, then we can lighten the load on all of our people. So anyway, take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next.